I love that song. Horatio G. Spafford wrote those words as he was traveling back from the Americas to Europe in the place where his family had passed away at sea. And he was able to write those words, "It's well with my soul." In a time of great loss, his faith was strongest because he had faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know many of you right now today are going through a difficult time, stormy seas. But I want you to know that if you'll put your faith in Christ, you can have hope for today and forever. Ephesians 2 verses 8 through 10 is our text this morning. Probably the best known verses in the book of Ephesians. And it is fitting in some of the trials many of you are going through right now today to be reminded of the salvation that we have through Christ alone. Amen. It's only by His grace that we have eternal life. And so we're going to study these few verses today, and I trust it'll be a blessing to you. And I pray with all my heart that if you've never partaken of the grace of Jesus Christ, if you have never genuinely repented of your sin and unbelief and put your faith in Christ alone, I plead with you today that you would repent and trust in the Savior today. It's only by His grace and through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that we can have eternal life. And we ought to run to that grace and accept that grace that He freely offers to all who believe. So let's stand together, if you're able, for the reading of God's Word. Ephesians chapter 2. And let's begin reading together at verse 8. "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Our Heavenly Father, thank You for Your wonderful grace. Thank You for the salvation that You freely offer to all who would believe. And Father, thank You for the sacrifice, the gift of our Savior Jesus Christ, His life that was given, His blood that was shed, so that this grace might be possible in our lives today. Thank You for the promise of eternal life to all who believe. May that be a comfort to hearts today. And Lord, I pray that if there's a soul here that's never trusted in Jesus, that this morning they would repent and believe the gospel. Lord, let us see people responsive to Your truth today and obedient. Lord, we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." I want you to know just off the bat today that there are people who are preaching and teaching that your salvation is dependent on what you do. And some people will say it doesn't depend on what you do in the beginning. You got to believe by faith, you get saved, and then it depends on what you do in order to keep that salvation. And I'm here today to declare to you plainly, the Word of God says that your salvation is a gift from God. It is not based on your works. Not to receive that gift and not to keep that gift. Because the gift we're talking about is eternal life. And if everlasting life starts and ends at some point, then it wasn't everlasting. If it's everlasting, it has to begin at some point and go on forever. And that's the gift that we're talking about today. The gift of salvation is the gift of everlasting life. That's what we're talking about when we say somebody was saved. What we mean is they received the gift of eternal life. And so it's not by works. It's not by what we do to get it. It's not by what we do to keep it. And what that ought to do is motivate us to live for the One who died for us and rose again. Amen. In other words, we don't live for Jesus so that we can earn salvation. We live for Jesus because He's freely given us salvation. We don't work to get saved. We work because we are saved. And that's what we want to see today. Our text this morning begins with the word "for." The word "for." And this means that it ties back to what He's just said. And it's saying this is the reason This is the reason. And so I want you to back up, if you would, very quickly and go back to verse 4, because he's telling us, for by grace are you saved. The reason we're saved by grace through faith is this. Verse 4 says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. And I want you to understand today that our salvation ultimately isn't even really about us. It's about Jesus Christ. It's about his great love. It's about his grace. It's about his kindness. And the whole purpose that he would do all of this for us is so that he would get glory in eternity. Do you see it? It all goes back to him. He's given us rich mercy, great love. Even though we were dead in sins, even though we deserve to burn in the lake of fire, he has made us alive if our faith is in his son, Jesus Christ. And it's only because of his mercy, because of his great love, because of his grace that we ever have hope to have eternal life. In other words, there are some people that strut around like they're the world's gift to God or something, like they're really doing God some favor. People show up at church like they've done God some great favor by showing up and enduring the sermon. And I'm just here to tell you today that it's not about you. It's never been about me. It's not about us. It's about Jesus. Amen. It's all about him. And so he is the reason that we could even have hope. We deserve nothing but justice. Some people all the time are upset because they don't get what they deserve. Dear friend, don't ever want what you deserve. Yeah. The honest truth, and nobody likes to hear this, but the honest biblical truth is what we deserve is eternity in the lake of fire.
Right.
And you look around the room and see all these people in their Sunday best and their sweet, innocent, happy faces, and I want you to know that all of that looks wonderful on the outside, but the reality is we are desperately wicked sinners without Christ.
Yes, sir.
And what we deserve is the lake of fire, but by his grace. Someone said that the definition of grace is unmerited favor. In other words, it's when God gives us what we don't deserve.
Yeah.
And that's a pretty good definition. So I want to talk to you about the path of our salvation. I want to talk to you about the purchase of our salvation and the purpose of our salvation today. Notice number one with me, please. The path of our salvation. For, we saw the reason, by grace. For by grace are ye saved. It's by grace. This word grace is charis, and it's from the word charo, and it means cheer. And it means it's a goodwill. In other words, God's grace is his goodwill towards us. God's grace is it's what cheers him. It's what gives him joy. Did you know that God's joy in eternity is going to be you surrounding his throne, giving him praise? Because you trusted in his son, Jesus Christ, because he gets glory for what Christ did, and because it brings him joy to bring sinners to salvation. And it brings him joy. It's his joy. It's his cheerfulness. It's his goodwill towards you to offer you everlasting life. And that's what his grace is. It's a gift. It's his love and his joy towards us. And I gotta echo the words of the psalmist that says, who is man? Who am I that thou art mindful of me? When you consider the vastness of creation, I mean, just consider the vastness of the earth. How big the earth is and how many billions of people live on this planet today and how tiny we are in here in our little town in Muldrow, in Sequoia County, in Oklahoma. I mean, we just seem so insignificant. But then when you consider how tiny the earth is just in our own solar system, and when you consider how tiny our solar system is in our universe, and when you in our solar system and then our universe, and then when you consider how vast the universe is in our galaxy, and how many galaxies there are. Friends, we're not even a speck on a speck on a speck. We're nothing in creation. And yet God has singled out this tiny little speck in this tiny little speck in this tiny little speck in all the vastness of the universe. He's singled out this people that he created in his image and that he loves so much with his great love that he sent his only begotten son to die for us. Friends, it's amazing grace. It's amazing grace. You think sometimes, well, I'm not that bad of a person. I'm really pretty good. And you might find plenty of people to compare yourself to in this world and feel pretty good about yourself. Right? I can watch the news and I think I'm a pretty good person. Or just go to the convenience store and look at the jailbirds. Right? How many of you see somebody you know in there every time? Just curious. Okay, just checking. I mean, we look at that and we think, well, I'm pretty good. But the fact of the matter is God isn't going to compare us to the latest issue of jailbirds. He's going to judge us by his word. Yep. And when I consider how wretched and filthy I am and how much he loved me, that's God's grace. It is amazing grace. For by grace are ye saved. This is the path. It's only because he's offered his grace that we have an opportunity to come to him. But then the only way to get to him is through faith. Through faith. In other words, faith is the channel. Faith is the pathway. Faith is the only way to come because it's impossible to please God without faith. We must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And so the only way to come to God is through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's not just belief in anything. People say today, as long as you have faith, just believe. Believe what? Well, just believe. Well, that's nonsense, friends. You don't just believe in anything or believe in nothing. You believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. And that's the only way we can come to God. It's by grace through faith. We trust in him with all our heart. Philip told the Ethiopian eunuch, the eunuch wanted to get baptized. See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. We need to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ with all our heart. That's the kind of faith we're talking about. We have lots of illustrations about that, like you trusted the pew that you're sitting in right now. You had faith that it would hold you up. We have a lot of different ways that we try to describe it. I ask people sometimes if they believe in airplanes, and they look at me funny. I don't know why. But yeah, we see airplanes fly around. I said, well, that's a different kind of belief. If you really trust in the airplane, you'll get in it and sit down while it takes off. See, Augie doesn't trust in airplanes. He believes in them, but he doesn't trust in them. Right? And that's okay. That's okay. You don't have to trust in airplanes, but if you want to go to heaven, you have to trust in Jesus. Amen. And it's not just believing that there was a man named Jesus that the Jews and the Romans murdered on a cross. No, we have to believe that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God, that died for our sins and rose again the third day. We have to trust in that. And it's through faith. Faith is the pathway. Faith is the channel by which we come to salvation. This is the path. It's by grace through faith. And I want you to notice the purchase. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. That not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Now, there's been a lot of debate throughout the centuries about this middle phrase here, and that not of yourselves. People debate about whether he's referring back. Is he talking about the grace? Is he referring back to the faith? Is he talking about just salvation in general? When he says that, you see the word that right there? That, not of yourselves. Is he talking about faith? Is he talking about grace? Is he talking about salvation? What is he talking about? And the debates have raged throughout the centuries about what that is. And I want to help you out today. Okay, you ready? All of the above is true.
Amen.
Now you can get into the Greek and Greek scholars tell me that it can't be referring to faith because of the gender of the word that and the gender of faith. And stuff that I don't really understand, just to be honest with you. They tell me that in the Greek that can't be that way, but then some other Greek scholar comes along and says, well, actually, in certain cases, that can be the way. It's a lot like English that way. Don't you love all the rules for English?
Yeah.
It's this way and this way and this way, except when it's not that way, right? This is the rule, except. And so Greek's the same way. There's exceptions. And so they've debated about this. And I want to tell you the honest truth. I believe that maybe one of the reasons we can't nail it down is because it's all true. Because it's not your faith. God gives us faith. Faith doesn't come from ourselves. It is a gift from God. The carnal, fleshly, undone, wicked, wretched sinners that we are, we don't have faith in ourselves. It's not in our nature. God is, it's a gift from God. And obviously, it's not of ourselves. It's a gift of God. That goes back to grace. Grace is a gift. It's what God gives us when we don't, what we don't deserve. And then when we just talk about being saved, our salvation, obviously that's not from ourselves. That's a gift from God.
Amen.
And so all of the above are true, and you can study that out on your own and spend all the time you want to. I spent some time studying it out, and I can tell you that I can say with confidence that it's all true. And obviously the Holy Spirit of God meant something when he said it. And you can dig into that and figure that out on your own, but at the end of the day, all of the above are true, and without a doubt, dear friend, even the very faith that we have to put in Jesus doesn't come from ourselves.
Yeah.
Well, so how does that work? Well, here's what I believe. Jesus Christ died for the sins of the whole world. 1 John says that he died for our sins, not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. He died for everyone. He was lifted up and draws all men unto himself. Anybody that would come to God by faith in Christ can come if they will believe. And I believe this, when a person makes the choice to repent and come to God, God gives them the faith to even believe in him. But I want you to notice, I want to get hung up there too long, because I want you to see this, not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. All my life studying this passage of Scripture, I've always just thought about the gift of God. I mean, you get these pictures in your mind from your own experiences, right? When I think about gifts, I think about birthdays, I think about Christmas time. I think about somebody wrapping up a present and giving it to somebody. And so when we think about the gift of God, I've always kind of thought of salvation that way. God, Jesus died for us. He purchased our eternal salvation, and he has it kind of in a gift here, and he just holds it out to us, and all you got to do is reach out and accept it. But the reality is, this word gift is really the word sacrifice. Every time you find this word in the New Testament, it always is tied with the gifts and sacrifices of the temple worship. This word gift is not about wrapping up a present. This word gift is about Jesus Christ giving himself for us. This is about Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, slain from the foundation of the world. This is about giving himself for us. And I want you to see it here in Hebrews chapter 9, beginning at verse 9. If you'd find that, please. Hebrews 9 and verse 9. Not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Some of you are very sleepy today, and I understand that. I thank God. Some of you have been up like all night. Some of you slept like 10 hours last night, but others of you worked all night and came to church anyway, and I commend you for that. But I don't want you to miss that, so if you kind of shake yourself just a little bit, I want you to get this passage of Scripture, okay? Hebrews chapter 9, beginning at verse 9. Which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience. Now, he's talking about the Old Testament worship. He's talking about the priests that came in and they made the sacrifices and they gave the gifts and the sacrifices on the altar, okay? He's saying that was good for a time. It was a figure for the time then present. Verse 10. Which stood only in meats and drinks and diverse washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of the Reformation. But Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. He says the Old Testament, they had their gifts and their sacrifices, but you are saved by grace through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. And what is that gift of God? It's Jesus Christ himself giving his own blood to purchase everlasting redemption for all who believe. I kind of feel like I need to repeat it, like you just missed a great opportunity to rejoice there. Totally missed it. I'm just trying to tell you today that it's not some nice little wrapped up present with the bow on top sitting under the Christmas tree. What we're talking about is God himself going to Calvary's cross and shedding his precious blood as a sacrifice for sinners. Jesus Christ taking that blood sacrifice himself into the very throne room of God. Not some tabernacle or temple made by hands, but Jesus Christ, the Son of God, presenting himself as a sacrifice for sinners in the heavenly of heavenlies before God the Father, and he made the ultimate sacrifice, and he paid the price for all mankind, and he bought eternal redemption to all who believe.
Yep. Amen.
Did you get it? It's eternal redemption. It's an everlasting purchase. When he gave himself for us, he bought all mankind forever. But the gospel does no good to you if you don't believe. That's why it's by grace through faith. And it's a gift. He paid the price. This gift doesn't mean that it's just anything out there he had laying around. No, he bought us with his own blood. It's why we're a purchased possession. He paid for us with his own precious blood. He bought eternal redemption to all who believe, but we must come by faith. And it's only possible because of his grace. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Get it, friends? It's the pathway is through by his grace through faith. The purchase is that he is the gift. He is the gift.
Amen.
He gave himself. And then verse 9, please notice, not of works, lest any man should boast. Hi, my name's Isaac. I'm from Calvary Missionary Baptist Church. Wanted to know if we could talk to you for a second this evening. You guys have a church home anywhere? Oh, yeah, we go to church. Oh, where do you go to church at? It's down behind the thing down there, the place. I can't remember the name of it, but we go to church there. By the way, in case you didn't, this is Calvary Missionary Baptist Church. So tomorrow, if somebody asks you where you go to church, you can tell them Calvary, okay? I get concerned about people who go to church, they don't even know the name of the place where they go to church. That most churches have a sign outside. You can probably check it out before you go in. But we talk to these people and we say, you got a church home? Oh, yeah. Okay, that's really good. Let me ask you a question. When this life's over and God judges you, if he says to you, why should I let you into my kingdom, what would you say? And people most of the time have no idea. But I get this answer more than anything. Some people say, I don't know what I would say. But most people say, because I've been a good person. You know what they're saying? They're declaring their own righteousness by their works. When you say I'm a good person, you're saying I've done good things. I've done good works. Not of works, lest any man should boast.
Amen.
You know what you're doing when you say I'm going to heaven because of my good works? You're boasting of your good works. I promise you, dear friend, today, if you're thinking this morning, I'm going to go to heaven because I'm a good person, you are dead wrong. And I emphasize the word dead.
Yes.
You're not going to get there because you're good, because you're not good. There's none righteous, no, not one. And I love how God, you know, he emphasizes those things and he kind of puts it back in there. There's none righteous. That's enough, right? He could have stopped there. But he has to go on and say, no, not one, because you know why? Because everybody thinks they're that one.
Yep.
It's just like stop signs. Those are for everybody else but me. I don't really need to stop there. I can just roll through. Right, CJ? I don't really need to stop there. You could just kind of slow down a little bit as long as it's clear. People think stop signs apply to everybody but them. People think blinkers are for everybody but them. And people think that there's none righteous, it's for everybody that but them. So God has to say, no, not one.
Amen.
Not even you. You can read it for yourself. It's Romans chapter 3. Not of works, lest any man should boast. When we declare our own righteousness, we're boasting. And we are contrary to Scripture. And dear friend, your works are not going to get you to heaven. Your works are very, very good for getting you to hell. Our goodness is good enough to get us to hell. Our works of righteousness are good enough to get us to hell. And you say, well, what can a man do? Well, he can trust in Christ. It's the whole point. It was the whole point of the law that all would become guilty and every mouth would be stopped and all would become guilty before God. It's the whole purpose of the law, to be our schoolmaster, to bring us to Christ. It's the whole purpose of what he's trying to say here. Jesus Christ, God had great love for you. He had wonderful mercy for you. He has grace for you. But you have to come by faith, not by works. Galatians 2:16 says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Is that plain enough for you? It's not by works. It's by faith in Christ. It's not by works. It's by faith in Christ. And he says it over and over, so we'll get it. So please get it today. The purchase is not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ by his own blood to obtain eternal redemption for us. It is the purchase not of works, not by what we do, but by what Christ did for us. And you see the purpose. I want you to look at verse 10. So many times we love to quote verses 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And we want to stop right there because we're glad as Baptists to say it's by grace through faith, it's not of works. We want to leave the works out. But God doesn't leave the works completely out. He just leaves them out as far as how to get saved. But the works come after you're saved.
Yes, sir.
And Baptists think that work is the worst four-letter word there is in the book. By the way, work is a blessing from God.
Amen.
I'll take a little tangent here just to say that work is a blessing from God. And we were reminded last Sunday night that Jesus Christ wasn't just the son of a carpenter, he was the carpenter. And you know, he did something before he turned 30 and started his earthly ministry.
Yes.
You know what he did? He worked.
Amen.
Sorry, I just feel like people in our society today need to hear that. Work is not a bad thing. Work is a good thing. And working for Jesus is the best thing.
Amen.
How about this? Verse 10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Do you get that?
Yes.
We're a new creature in Christ unto good works. Not we're working so we can be a new creature, but when we are a new creature, it's to good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. In other words, in eternity past, God foreordained that those who would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ would work for the Lord Jesus Christ. James clears it all up for us. He says that faith without works is dead, being alone. If you have real faith, you'll work for Jesus. If your faith in Christ results in you not working for him, there's something desperately wrong with your faith. James says your faith is a dead faith. It's not a living faith.
Right.
But when you have a living faith, it causes you to live for Christ. For we are his workmanship. This is the purpose of the salvation he's given, because he wants to create us something new. I love this. This word workmanship is the idea of a product. It's a thing that's made, and it has to do with the idea of a fabric. And I couldn't help but think of Psalm 139, 14 and 15. Psalm 139, 14 says, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. This word curiously wrought, that phrase there, has to do with needlework. And God literally in the womb weaves babies together. Did you know that? It's interesting how science books that don't even believe in God describe the process of the baby being formed in the womb. It talks about it being woven together. It's right here in the Bible. And God forms our life. By the way, life only comes from God. He's the giver of life. And not only does he give us that first life, that first birth, but when you trust in Christ, we have a new birth. And when we're born again, we are his workmanship. It's the same idea, that same concept, that we are woven together spiritually for the work of God. Isn't that awesome? Just like he formed you, curiously wrought you, put you together, wove you together in the womb to give you life. When you're born again, he makes you a workmanship, a beautiful tapestry that he put together for his glory in your new birth. Some of you people need to get excited, for crying out loud, what is wrong with you? This is awesome.
Yes, amen.
Have you ever seen the videos of the babies in the womb and how they're put together? It's incredible. It's amazing. And David, before they had all this fancy equipment to look at that stuff, he knew it was amazing because God told him. And he wrote it down right here in Psalm. And now we get to look at it with all this amazing technology. And by the way, it's life from conception.
That's right. Amen.
And we look at that, and if you have any idea of what being a Christian is about, you understand that that's life, and you want to defend that life and stand up for that life. And it's, why is it so precious? Because it's made in the image of God. And it ought to be in us to defend the innocent. And just as a side note, because somebody, when you start talking like this, they'll say, well, you just don't care about those women. It's not that I don't care about those women. It's just that I care about the innocent baby.
Yes.
That woman can take care of herself. That baby has no one to defend it. So we need to be the voice to defend the baby.
Amen.
But the point is this, that those babies are woven together in the womb, and it's amazing. And here he says we're his workmanship, and he weaves us together spiritually, a new creature in Christ.
Amen.
Made specifically for his honor, for his glory, and to do his work.
Yes.
And we all have different gifts and abilities and talents, and God wants us to find our place in the church to do the work that he's called us to do. Created in Christ Jesus. We're created. Jesus gives life where there was no life. I want you to get this. When you didn't have Jesus, you might have had a heartbeat and you might have had breath, but you did not have real life. But we're created in Christ Jesus. When we're born again, we're made a new creature in Christ. He creates something. He gives life where there was no life. Created in Christ Jesus. Psalm 139:16, he goes on to say, thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. He created you in the womb and gave you life. And when you're born again, he creates you a new creature. You see, the minute you're saved, friends, you're something completely new in Christ.
Amen.
If you've genuinely been born again, you are absolutely new. You are absolutely perfect in Christ. You are absolutely something. There was nothing there, and now there's life. You see, so many people, they pray a prayer, and they just go on, and nothing changes because maybe something didn't change. When you're really born again, something changes because you're a new creature in Christ. Isaiah 64:8, but now, O Lord, thou art our Father, and we are the clay, thou art our potter, and we are all the work of thy hand. He's the weaver, the needlework curiously wrought by God, we're woven together. He's the potter, and we're the clay. He takes that lump of clay that's nothing but a lump, and he forms us into a vessel fit and meet for the master's use. He creates us in Christ Jesus, which God hath before, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We spend so much time in this church preaching that you don't work to get saved. I'm afraid we miss the point that we're supposed to work after we're saved.
Yeah.
We have to preach against the heresy that you can be good enough to get there yourself. That we have to preach against that so much, I'm afraid we forget that good works are absolutely what the Christian life is about.
Yes.
We're created unto good works. We're created unto good works that God foreordained, He set it up in eternity past that you would live for him when you trusted in him. He's made us new creatures in Christ so that we could live for him. I'm so thankful for God's amazing grace. He's given us this amazing grace that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. But his grace is only effective on those who believe. He's only going to get glory from those who believe. It's only because of his grace, but it only works through his faith. Hebrews talks about those unbelieving Jews, and he says, the gospel was preached unto them just like it was to us, but it was of no effect to them because it wasn't mixed with faith. You've heard the gospel today, dear friend. Have you trusted in the gospel? Have you repented, turned away from your sin and your unbelief, and turned to God? Have you trusted with all your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ? If you've never done that, I want you to understand today that the lake of fire is what awaits you. If you do not repent, you will likewise perish.
Yes.
But grace is freely offered to everyone today. And if you've never repented and trusted Christ, you can do that today. You can receive the gift of everlasting life because Christ gave himself for us. This morning as we stand together, I wonder if your heart today, in your heart, you would say, I want to be saved. I need that gift of eternal life. In your heart this morning, you know if you died today, you would end up in hell. You say, well, preacher, I want to get saved, but I'm not good enough. There's no way. Listen to me. Christ died for all sinners, and all who repent and trust in him, he is mighty to save. There's no sin that you've done that he can't overcome. He's paid for it all. You say, well, I want to get saved. What do I do? Well, you repent. In your mind, you make a choice to turn away from your sin and to turn to God. And you trust, not just believe up here in your mind, but you trust in Christ with all your heart. You believe with all your heart that he died for you and rose again. And if you can repent and believe, then you can call on the Lord. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you need to be saved today, I plead with you to humble yourself before God and receive the gift of eternal life. If you've been saved but you haven't followed the Lord in baptism, spiritual, scriptural baptism, then I encourage you to follow him. Make that decision today. Whatever other need might be in your heart and mind today, I just plead with you to listen to the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Humble yourself and respond to him today while we sing.
Page 520.